Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 1. Doing kind of a little overview of this book. And it's, as I said, it's not a study of the book of Mark, but we started from the viewpoint of when Jesus told his disciples, James and John, Peter and Andrew, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Then I encouraged you to read this book of Mark from the viewpoint of one of the disciples that's learning firsthand from Jesus, because that's where it comes together. That's where we get it, okay? And so tonight we continue that study by looking at verse 35. Would you stand with me? Mark chapter 1, verse 35. "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight," and we are talking about Jesus, "he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, 'Everybody's looking for you.' But he said to them, 'Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come.' And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons." Again, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Wade, would you lead us in prayer, please, brother?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come to your house this evening. Thank you for who you are. Your word, we get to read and learn. Specifically tonight about your son. I am spending time with you. Father, if you listen to your name, bring your word, may you touch our hearts, help us to learn, teach us to tell you.
Yes, Lord.
In many ways, I'm so thankful for it.
Amen. You may be seated. Now, the message I'm going to share with you tonight is not going to be anything really new, but I hope to remind you of some things that hopefully we don't allow to fall by the wayside. And we begin, I want you to understand where Jesus is at this point. Jesus has been one busy man, okay? He's called four of his disciples so far, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. He's called them, told them, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." He's taught in the synagogue. He's cast out demons, a demon that was possessing a man that was in the synagogue. He goes home with Peter, and Peter's mother-in-law is sick. So he heals Peter's mother-in-law. Everybody in the community hears about the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. So the whole community turns out, and he's healing the sick. He's casting out demons, and it's just kind of an overwhelming scene. There's no end in sight. It's time for a break. Jesus at this point had to be a little bit weary. And so Jesus decides to take a vacation and go to the beach for a week. No. Wasn't room for that at this point in the ministry of Jesus. There's no beach time. But he did do something that should cause us to set up and take notice. It says, now, had I gone through this, I'd have probably said, "I'm going to sleep late in the morning," right? But Jesus, it says, he rose a long while before daylight and went out and departed to a solitary place. He rose a long time. Don't you just chew on that for a little bit. He rose a long time before daylight. Why did he get up before daylight? Because nobody else was up. It was just him. And I want to call your attention to a word that we'll miss if we're not careful. It says he in verse 35, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed." That word "went out" in the Greek, it literally means to escape, as a prisoner would escape from jail. And of course, depart means just that, to leave or depart. So Jesus gets up, get this picture, he's been real busy. So he gets up at, let's say, I don't know, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and he has the idea, the intent, to escape. nobody else is up. And he does that very thing. He escapes. Gets out. Let's just take a break right here. Have you ever been to that point you felt, I need to escape? I need to get out. You know? And as parents, as young parents, if you have children, there are a lot of demands being made upon you. The mothers of those children, fathers of those children, you know, and I don't mean this in a negative way. As a parent, you got to do what you think you need to do for your kids. But my goodness, kids are busy today. No, I mean, there's never an end to the ball games. There's basketball, football, baseball, and one's over and the other one started. And parents are always, I've got to take my kids to basketball or football or baseball. And parents don't get home till 9 o'clock at night and trying to, you know, take care of their kids. That's a lot. You ever get to that point where you just feel if one more thing comes up, I'm going to scream. You gotta heed the warning signs. Okay? And it's not just parents, it's for all of us. Do you ever wake up in a foul mood? Not going to answer that one, are you? There are some times that I wake up mad, angry. And I think, what is wrong with me? I get up out of bed and I'm mad. And Beth can spot it. You know, and later the day or the next day, I'll just say, honey, I'm so sorry. And she'll say, but you tell, she just kind of like, I'm having nothing to do with you at this point. But you know, for me, what that is, that's a warning sign. That is a warning sign and it's not a warning of I need a vacation. It's a warning of I'm running on empty. I have neglected something. And that something has been that time of escape. When I get away and nobody can reach me and nobody can talk to me, where it's just me and God. And I want to give you the best, the most life-changing counsel that I can give you tonight. If you do not regularly escape to be with God, you are missing out on one of the greatest blessings of Christianity. Okay? Where we all get to that point where we just can't take anymore. And I don't know that Jesus was at that point where he couldn't take anymore. But I do know that he needed to get away and just be with his Father. And if Jesus needed to do that, beloved, you and I need to do that on a regular basis. It says he went to a solitary place. And there he prayed. A solitary place means uninhabited, a wilderness, a place where there's no people. Listen, every once in a while, I don't mean this bad, but you got to get away from people. Okay? You've got to get away from people. I said a while ago, those times when I wake up and I'm just mad, it's a sign to me, and I can go back and I can look, and I haven't had that time with God. I mean, it sneaks up on you. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we all need that. I don't care if you're 80 years old or if you're a young Christian. You better take that time where you just sit down with God and nobody can bother you. If you have your cell phone, turn it off. Who is more? He said, Brother Doug, somebody might call. Who is more important than God? Do you ever let your cell phone just ring? Or push that button on the side? I don't know what they call it. Reject? Okay. You ever reject a call? Turn that thing off Because I promise you, when you get alone with God, what's going to happen is that cell phone's going to ring or somebody's going to text you and you're going to think, I can answer them real quick and send them a text back, and it's going to blow the whole thing. Turn it off. Get away to that solitary place where it's just you and God. And that's what Jesus did. And look what He did. Novel idea. When He got to that solitary place, it says, He what? Prayed. He prayed. He talked to God. And I said, a lot of people, you know where I learned to pray? I learned to pray in church. And I learned to pray hearing, Oh Father in heaven, Thou art truly great. You are a wonderful Savior. And I heard all these wonderful words. That's not what we're talking about. And don't get public prayers fine. Okay? Public prayers good. But listen, I have discovered something really important. When I'm seeking this one-on-one God time, God's not impressed with my words. He's not. And I often hear people say, I don't really know how to pray. Can you talk? Or better yet, can you just be silent? One of the greatest blessing that I've discovered in time like this is when I just sit and be with God. You ever do that? 2 Samuel chapter 7. David had talked to Nathan about building a house for God, and God said, no, you're not going to build my house, but your son is. And after that, it's later in the chapter there, but it says that David sat before God. Have you ever just sat and be silent before God? God, I just want to be with you. Have you ever had someone that you just wanted to be in their company? It's funny, you know, when it's not funny, but Beth is such a part of me that she can go visit our grandbabies. And I'm glad for her to visit our grandbabies. But you know what? I just miss her. I just need her there. She can sit there and she may say 10 words to me, or we may have a lengthy conversation, but just being in her presence blesses me. Being in the presence of God will be a blessing, even if you don't say a word. God, I just want to be with you. I just want to enter into your presence. And I'm not here to impress you with my vocabulary. But I'll tell you what. It is hard to stay silent sitting with God. But it's a great way to start. I found that it's those times that you sit before God and you sit in silence and you think, God, I just want to talk to you. God, I'm tired. You ever tell God you're tired? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's okay to be tired. It's okay to be tired. And there's something about telling God, God, I'm tired, that blesses you. You know? That's speaking your heart. God, I'm concerned for my kids. Oh, my kids are worrying me, God. Help me to be the parent that I'm supposed to be. Lord, I don't know what to do. If you've ever been in that position. Lord, I'm in circumstances that are way beyond who I am as an individual. And Lord, I don't know how to handle this. Lord, I just pray for wisdom. What am I saying? I'm saying, just get alone with God. Have you ever noticed how talking about things helps? You know, especially when you talk to people who can relate. You know, you can talk to me and you know, if it's something that I've been through, You know, let's say we both had health issues and we had the same health issues and you sat down with me and you can exchange with me. I remember what that felt like and I remember how it was when I was hurting and there's something about that blesses you. But I want to tell you something. When you sit before God, who really knows how you feel, you say, God, I'm hurting. This is the God that gave His Son and allowed His Son to hang on the cross of Calvary. He knows pain. I want to tell you something. There's something about going before God uninterrupted with a simple conversation saying, God, I just need You. And what will happen is this. Somewhere along the way, you're going to realize that you've been in the presence of Almighty God. And there's going to be a presence about you throughout the remainder of that day that you know God is with you. And there's going to be a presence about you, a spirit about you that others are going to know that you have been with God. Have you ever talked to people and just know, okay, that person, you know, you're a Christian, that person spent time with God. It shows. It shows. You will be changed. I love the response of the disciples here, you know, in verse 36. verse 36. Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and when they found him, they said to him, this is the way they said it, everybody's looking for you. Where you been? Don't you know that there are sick people here? Don't you know there are things to be done? Everybody's looking for you. What are you doing? And that's kind of the way the world looks at it. Jesus knew a secret. He knew that His relationship with the Father was the most important thing so that He could do what the Father called Him to do. I want to tell you something. You are here for a special purpose. God has a calling for your life. Okay? But you cannot do that calling without the power of God in your life. Alright? You will not be effective. And so that's why this is so very important. That you know how to take this time and just be with God and allow God to refuel you on the inside. You say, Brother Doug, it all sounds good, but you don't understand. I don't have time to do that. I have so much to do that if I take an hour a day, this other stuff won't get done. Well, I'm going to tell you three things. Okay? Number one, that's a lie from the devil. Okay? That is a lie. You do not have so many things to do that you don't have time for God. All right? That is Satan convincing you that you do not need God to do what you've got to do. You want to spend that time, you want to be effective, spend the time, the alone time with God. And watch how much more effective your ministry is. Number two, you're not nearly as important as you think you are. This world will continue to spin if you take an hour and be alone with God. I have had people say, you know, and I've thought, man, I've got to get all this studying done. There's Sunday's coming, Wednesday's coming, I've got to get this stuff done. I don't have time. It's the worst thing in the world I can do. It doesn't matter how much I prepare. If God does not prepare me, it's going to be a flop. You know? And you're the same way. Yeah, you may have a different job and a different calling upon your life, but you still need the power of God in your life. Mankind, your kids, you sneak away, moms, you sneak away for an hour, and your kids they're going to miss you, I promise you. Okay? And they're going to go, where you been, Mom? Just look at them and say, none of your business, and smile at them. Number three, the same people that you think are so urgent that you need to minister to right here and right now will be there when you get finished with God or when God gets finished with you. Look at what happened. When they said, "Where have you been?" You know, everybody is looking for you. Jesus had His time with the Father, and those same people who were demon-possessed, who were sick, those same people were still there. Don't ever think that if I don't do it right here and right now, the world's going to end, because it's not. All right? You need that time with God. And I want to show you one last thing, okay, in closing. And that's in the last verse. He said to them, when they said, "All these people are waiting on you. You know, you need to go. You need to minister to these people." In verse 38, He said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come." Let us go to the next town. It's in those quiet times that God will reveal Himself to you. And He may... See, Jesus come out of this with a new direction. Okay, I've done ministry here at Peter's house and in this community. And He came out of time with God. Says, okay, it's time to go somewhere else. New direction. Time to do something else. He could have stayed where He was. And I promise you, there would have been a multitude of people at His doorstep every day. But He spent that time with God and He said, okay, it's time to go to the next town, for that's why God has put me here. Do you know why God's put you here? Yeah? Let me tell you something. We all want to be directed of God. Amen? Do you want to be led by God? Raise your hand. You'll never be led by God if you don't spend time with God. Right? You won't be. You won't be. If I want, you know, if I want to hear from Beth, I've got to spend time from Beth. If I want to hear from you, I've got to spend time with you. If I want to hear from God, I've got to spend time with God. Question. Are you spending that time? You will never be a fisher of men. You will never be successful in ministry. You will never be able to fulfill your call under your own power, talents, and abilities. You need time with God. Do not neglect that time with God. You may be here tonight, and you don't understand this time with God thing. Okay? I mean, isn't that what church is? Yeah. But it's different. You see, when you have a personal relationship with God, and you're alone with God, and you commune with God, and you fellowship with God, there's nothing like it in the world. Okay? I said, you know, I told you, I get up all moody sometime and get up mad. It's an indication I've let that time slip. You know, I start to feel it on the inside even before I realize it. It shows up, and it's because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. All right, He's my Savior. You know, see, years ago, I called upon the name of Jesus, who came to this earth, the Son of God, and gave His life upon the cross of Calvary, dying, sacrificing Himself as the punishment for my sin, taking my punishment. And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And back years ago, I called upon Jesus Christ and asked Him to forgive me of my sins and to save me. And guess what? Because of that, I'm a child of the King. And what I've shared with you tonight is what you learn as you walk with Him every day. But here's the truth. Okay? If you don't belong to Him, you can't walk with Him. Right? You can go to church all you want to. You can read your Bible all you want to. But if you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, you're not a child of God. Right? So my challenge to you is, Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight? Right? If you do, you say, Brother Doug, I would like to, but I don't understand how. Very easy. Ask. Ask Jesus to save you. We're going to have a verse of invitation in just a moment. And if you want to be saved, I invite you to come. And I'll show you in the Word of God where it says exactly how. All right? And maybe you're here tonight and you've been neglecting that time. You will not be successful as long as you neglect that alone time with God. Time to renew your commitment. Whatever your spiritual need is tonight, perhaps you need to become a member, the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church, or there's some other need in your life, I'd invite you to come as we have this invitation. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you so much for the example of Jesus. And Lord, we realize that we can't do it on our own power. Sometimes we get so empty and we become aggravated, and it's all because we neglect our personal relationship with you. Father, forgive us. Help us to be faithful. Help us to take advantage of those times with you. Just to sit before you and enjoy your fellowship, enjoy your company. Just to share conversation with you and to tell you our burdens are and our worries and our concerns, and just to rejoice before you because you truly are a good God. May we all be faithful in our time with you. Lord, I pray that in this invitation, if there is one who does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray that tonight will be the night that they will step out from where they sit and they will walk down this aisle and give their life to you. Lord, Thy will be done. In Jesus' name.